This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Welcome back. This is Marcus Myers, your host of the Until the Whistle podcast. This is episode number 18, so we're closing in on 20 of these things. It's been a good ride. I've enjoyed it. You know, I've gotten to talk about a number of different topics and hope, you know, can continue to allow it to expand. Definitely want to continue to shout out our partners here on the Yak. You know, thank you guys for doing everything that you do, particularly in the way of producing it and just, you know, putting out some quality content for us. So been enjoying doing that. Let's see. It's Tuesday, February 12th when I'm recording this. So for those of you that celebrate that kind of thing, fellas, don't forget that Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Get your lady something special. Or if, you know, you have one of those unicorns that doesn't, you know, get all worked up by a holiday, then, you know, go you. Enjoy a cold one. But recording here on a Tuesday night, it's a little less than a week since National Signing Day. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but not too much because there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. And get into just kind of some random things across the Longhorn sphere. I went to the Texas Town Hall that Athletic Director Chris Del Conte hosted last Thursday, so I'll give some of my impressions of that. We'll talk a little bit about some of the guys that have been invited going to the Combine. And then dive into the world of this transfer portal slash grad transfer stuff. So should be an interesting episode. We'll start out on a little bit of a somber note. This past week, I had to lay to rest one of my best friends, a guy named Ernest Walker. Is from Houston and was living with his wife in South Carolina. Had flown back to the Houston area to celebrate his youngest son's birthday, and unfortunately passed in his sleep. Gosh, it's been, so not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before. So, you know, woke up to some, that sobering bit of news on Super Bowl Sunday. And, you know, I just kind of have been a bit at a loss ever since then, to be honest. So, you know, hopefully I can get through this episode okay, but I certainly took it pretty tough. You know, this is the first time I've really lost someone as close to me as he is, as close to my age. So, you know, we're both 34. He would have been 35 this coming September. You know, was just in his wedding a year ago. And it, you know, it's just tough to, not even a year ago, rather. He got married last Memorial Day weekend. And so, you know, it's just tough seeing what his wife is going through. Like I said, his two sons. But he was a great guy. You know, exceptional friend, exceptional husband, exceptional father. And it's just somebody that, you know, I'm going to certainly miss. And, you know, just you guys out there, you know, take care of yourselves. Do what you can to get checked out. You know, we're still not entirely sure what the actual cause that, you know, led to his demise, but you know, it's just a reminder of how every day really isn't guaranteed to us. One of the toughest things I've been having to deal with is just coming to terms with the fact that he didn't do anything wrong. You know, he was just going to sleep and assumed that he would wake up the next day and, you know, go to brunch or something and catch the Super Bowl. And so you know, it was tough, or has been tough, but that's why I'm not really going to talk about the Super Bowl much, because it kind of reminds me of that whole day. And honestly, I watched it, but I wasn't really thrilled with it. And, you know, for people that paid super, super close attention, you know, were saying it was one of the more boring Super Bowls anyway. So I would venture to say I didn't miss out on much. It was one of my former teammates, Fozzie Whitaker's birthday last weekend. And so he had a a crawfish boil over at his house. So I went over there, was able to see some guys that I play with and different guys I know from Texas and kind of hang out. So I spent a little more time just kind of socializing than I did truly focusing on the game this year. But at any rate, excuse me, like I said, kind of starting off, National Signing Day 2 was last week, was extremely uneventful and kind of interesting just in how it's covered now. I remember a couple years back when I was working in Washington, D.C., you know, getting up early that morning at like 6:30 and, you know, getting into work and just, you know, turning my ESPN 2 on my iPad just so I could watch all the stuff kind of roll in. And now with, you know, the early signing period where the majority of the players are signing, it just doesn't leave a whole lot open for discussion. Before I go on, I do this every year. I'll probably continue to do this every year. But this was the 2019 University of Texas football recruiting class that just signed. I signed in 2002. So every year, me and some of the fellas from our class. So, you know, of course, that was the class with VY. But we also had guys like Rod Wright and Larry Dibbles, David Thomas, Casey Stutter, Justin Blaylock, Lyle Sinline. All those guys were in my class. And we kind of have a group text where, you know, each year around that time, we remind ourselves like, yep, that was us this many years ago. And so now I told Ketchum this, but it has been 17 years since I signed. So if I think about that, you know, I'm 34 and I had only lived half of my life, you know, when I was having to make that decision or half of, you know, this portion of my life when I was having to make that decision 17 years ago. And so, you know, I just think about all the things that I've learned since then. I can't really blame some of the kids that choose to, you know, take their time with the process and make sure that they're, you know, fully on board with where it is they're deciding to go. And so, you know, I say that because, you know, ultimately I kind of have shifted my thinking a little bit on the recruitment of Javon Shepherd. You know, I guess throughout it, I wasn't really feeling his recruitment, kind of in the similar way that I wasn't feeling Calvin Anderson's recruitment initially or for much of it, in that I felt it was kind of drama slash diva filled. And I don't know if that was truly fair, at least in Javon Shepherd's case. In the long run, I don't know if that's truly fair. You know, I think he was always relatively open about, yeah, I'm committed to Texas, but I'm going to take my visits. And without being privy to, without being privy to a ton of stuff behind the scenes, it doesn't seem like it was too far beyond that. Just seems like it was a guy that ultimately wanted to just enjoy himself, go on some trips. You know, I always try to find ways that I can, you know, be able to parlay work trips into places that I haven't necessarily seen before. And so how can I really fault a guy, you know, 17 years old, you know, born and raised in Houston, feeling pretty good about the fact that, you know, he's going to ultimately end up signing with Texas. But, you know, if that's the case, hasn't truly, you know, gotten out of the state a whole lot. So, you know, why not and go and you know, kind of see what else is out there. But at the end of the day, he signed with Texas. Guy that's 6'6", like 305, I want to say, you know, really has just a build that will allow him to truly develop if he puts in the work. Reminds me, at least size wise, and I guess he was 6'5", but reminds me a little bit of Jay Scott. I had kind of thrown this out to some of my boys. Did either Javon Shepherd or Tyler Johnson, did either of them have the ability to be our Trent Williams? Because I, you know, I really liked how Trent played in college and in the pros. And just, I think it would be cool for us to have, you know, one of those left tackles that's just a beast. And so, you know, wonder if, you know, either of the guys that were recently signed have some of that ability. So talk a little bit more about the offensive line when we get to some of the grad transfer stuff. But I kind of like what Herb Hand is doing with his offensive line. You know, he's placing a premium on it, going out, trying to identify and get his guys. And I think that'll pay off dividends, especially in the recruitment of someone like Zach Evans, you know, who's going to really be looking at, okay, my success is going to be largely tied to who I'm running behind. So I want to make sure he has those hogs up front. So I like what we're doing there, but he was the only recruit that signed, I think, officially that day. We also recognized that Brew McCoy had signed. We'll get to a little tidbit of info regarding him a little later as well. But I think all in all, you know, certainly a great haul. I've heard people make a lot of, you know, conversation about the number of recruits coming from in the state versus out. And Anwar does a really good job on his podcast of kind of breaking this down, how it looks across the national landscape. And for the data that he kind of came back with was that while you certainly want to do as well as you can in your state, there's a lot of the truly elite programs that have to go significantly, you know, outside of their state to fill their classes. So I think it's turning a bit more into a true national game, and from a standpoint of where you're grabbing your talent. And I think Coach Herman and his staff have done a really good job of recognizing that and kind of really planting their feet in, you know, California, Arizona, even Georgia, and so and Georgia and Louisiana. So I think they're doing a good job of, you know, kind of establishing some rapport and credence in some of the recruiting hotbed areas that maybe we haven't has been as prevalent in the past. So I guess switching gears a little bit, last week went to the Texas Town Hall that was hosted by Chris Del Conte. It was in the LBJ Auditorium on campus. And so that was on Thursday evening. And I went to that, talked a lot about the facilities being upgraded, that, you know, UT operates on a $219 million budget. Got some cheers when, you know, he announced that season tickets aren't being increased this year, but that single game pricing will be. For example, if you were just trying to, you know, buy a one-off ticket for a single game, of course, the big one next year's LSU, that ticket would run you $215. So, you know, he was just placing emphasis on, you know, we really want people to be committed, be, you know, season ticket holders, and, you know, are going to try to do the best that, you know, the university can in rewarding the people that are season ticket holders. And then if you choose to just be a one-off person, you know, we'll accept your money too, but it's gonna tax you a little bit. And then got into some of the South end zone discussion. I believe there were, he said, 8 suites at $10 million apiece that are already accounted for in that Southern end zone project. Excuse me. Sorry, this weather's been messing with me, and I'm trying not to get sick, so I got to keep clearing my throat here. But the what I'm saying, there's 8 suites that are $10 million apiece that people fork down. Now, how nice has that got to be so well off that, you know, you can really help kind of dictate what your viewing experience is going to be, you know, by getting able to, you know, get into a state of the art, you know, suite. I mean, that's pretty cool. So I can only hope to have that level of success one day. But, you know, talked a lot about that, and then he opened it up for questions, and I just wasn't impressed with the level of question that people came up with. Granted, I didn't ask one, but I just felt they were asking him some really petty stuff. You know, had a guy stand up and, you know, talk about how he's from East Texas and people want to know why James Street isn't in the Hall of Fame. And then another lady asked, you know, why hasn't Cat Osterman's jersey been retired? And, you know, a guy went on a little mini rant about the baseball field not having natural grass, and that we're probably one of the only, you know, institutions in America that don't, or one of the only baseball fields in the country that don't. have natural grass, to which, you know, like, I don't know that to not be true, but it just doesn't sound like it would be a true statement. but ultimately, it just was a different perspective for me to see, you know, this is the stuff that, you know, kind of really people focus on. I don't know. I guess it's different for every person, different for every fan, different for every donor. But I just think it kind of goes to show what you're having to try to please with this, you know, Longhorn faithful constituency. I mean, you got everybody that, you know, obviously wants to win, but then also each person, you know, has things that are near and dear to them. And for somebody like Chris Del Conte, being new, he got an opportunity to come in and take a glance at the program with a fresh set of eyes. But that's one of, I think, the more difficult things, is trying to cater to all the different aspects of our fan base. And so I thought he did a good job fielding questions. You know, he did some tap dancing on some of them, more than I had expected. But, you know, I also think that he makes himself readily available to people. And so you see him interacting with folks on Twitter often. A season ticket holder, you know, had stood up and said that he had emailed, you know, Chris Del Conte's office sometime during the season last year with an issue on the west side of the stadium. And Mr. Del Conte called him back personally and said, you know, you're right to point this out and we're going to get it taken care of. And he did get it taken care of. So he's certainly open to hearing ideas, things that, you know, people have concerns with and that kind of deal. So it was an interesting venue. I think, you know, it'll probably grow in the years to come. I honestly expected more people to be there than I thought. I saw somewhere where it was reported that 500 people were there. I didn't think it was that many. It seemed, you know, closer to maybe high 100, 200-ish to me. But at any rate, it was a first-time event, something that, you know, he said he's going to try and do at least once a year for sure. And then when it makes sense to give other updates about things, you know, he brought up the basketball arena and how a lot of that isn't fleshed out yet. But once more detail can be given, that would be a potential, you know, opportunity for him to do a town hall in that respect too. So, you know, more to come on that, but, you know, certainly things, that was the one thing that really stood out to me. There was a graph that he put up that went back like to 1999, and it showed all the major renovations and the amount of money that people put into these renovations around the country at different universities. And every elite college football program in the last, I'd say, 20 years was on this timeline. Some people like your Alabamas or even your TCUs were on there multiple times. A&M was on there. Just about every school in state was on there except for Texas. And so his point was, you know, and it's kind of a sales pitch, but I understand the premise of it being that, you know, we're wanting to get the best of the best. We've had, you know, the most money of anybody in college football for a significant amount of time. And yet our facilities are really the guts of what was built for Coach Royal and then at one point updated for Coach Makovic. And so, you know, you're kind of behind the eight ball with some antiquated facilities, and they've done some things, you know, to try and revamp that in terms of, you know, remodeling the weight room and, you know, improving the training facilities and even, you know, the locker room. But the guts of the building are still old, and it's still, you know, a area in which we, you know, continue to can improve, you know, especially when trying to compete for the attention of these young adults, these young student athletes, and where they have the opportunities to, you know, look at around the country. We certainly want to be, you know, up there in having the best of facilities so that that can't be used against us as a notch, you know, for another school and not us. So, you know, it was interesting. Something I'm sure I'll check out again in the future. So if you did happen to be there as well and have any thoughts, I'd be interested in hearing what they are. So what else? What else? Let's see. Five of the guys got invited to the NFL Combine. That's big for their careers, for them to go, you know, to the big dog and pony show and kind of show themselves off. I know, you know, Chris Boyd will be looking back, looking to, you know, I guess kind of bounce back from a rough Senior Bowl and outing. And then Charles Amenihi will kind of be looking to continue to help his stock rise. I think, you know, when he goes here and performs as athletic as he is, as big as he is, as long as he is, when teams see that, I think he'll stand to make himself even more money than he already made himself by having a really good Senior Bowl performance. But yeah, so Chris Boyd, Devontae Davis, Lil' Jordan Humphrey, who declared early, Gary Johnson, and Charles Amenihi are the five Longhorns that are invited to the Combine, and that's how it should be. You know, 5, 7, 8 guys every year should be coming from UT to the Combine, how it used to be. You know, there was a couple of years in there where it was pretty sparse. And so good to seeing that. That'll be, what is that, February 26th through March 4th. So here in a couple of weeks coming up. And then there were some other dates that I wanted to mention with respect to, you know, the football program and when things are going to be taking place. Can't remember the exact dates right now that I was wanting to bring up, but I guess the big one, Saturday, April 13th, will be the Orange and White Spring Game. So that's 59 days away from now. You know, the guys will, you know, get some good work with Coach McKnight, and they've been getting in some of that work in January already. Get a little bit more of that, and then before you know it, spring ball will be here. So, you know, be looking forward to that. I'm going to miss the spring game this year. Friend of mine, a couple friends of mine, one of them's a UT grad, are getting married in the Dominican Republic. So it's that weekend. That's typically the weekend that is our Letterman reunion weekend for the football team. And so it'll suck missing out with some of those guys. I'll miss out, I guess, on some of the scoop that I would be able to have if I was able to attend. But I'll record it, and I'm sure I'll get some feedback from guys that attend. So grad transfers. So we talked some about the transfer portal, talked about how, you know, the grad transfer portal has, or the transfer portal, and then also grad transfers. Talked some also about how the transfer portal impacted some of us, or impacted the Longhorn team. And so had a situation where, who was it? Cameron Rising, you know, made a decision to enter his name into the portal, as did Casey Johnson. Ultimately, Casey ended up, or Cameron Rising, rather, ended up going to Utah to further his career. And then Casey Thompson decided to stay. So effectively, he'll be taking the second team reps in the spring behind Sam, because Shane Buchel also put his name in the portal and then announced last week that he'll be transferring to SMU after graduating in May. So Coach Herman was asked about it, you know, in his press conference on signing day. You know, he said that ultimately Shane had kind of decided that, you know, given his circumstances, it didn't really make sense for him to work out with the team, that it just didn't feel right. So he won't be with the, you know, training with the team or anything, but he will, you know, be attending school and all of that, and finishing up so that he can be a graduate transfer eligible to, you know, play right away at SMU, which makes sense. That was where I had him pegged going all along, giving him an opportunity to play quarterback and kind of be back in his back in his backyard, his hometown. So some other news coming from the transfer portal. Georgia had Justin Fields transfer from Georgia to Ohio State and then submit to the NCAA a waiver so that he could have immediate eligibility, and that waiver was granted. So that's seen as a positive development for what Texas will probably ultimately be seeking in the form of a waiver for Brew McCoy. It seems to continue to show that the NCAA doesn't really want to deal with any potential litigation, you know, from these guys that are hiring people to kind of figure out what some of their options are. And so in order to avoid that, it looks like, you know, they're typically kind of caving on the players' demands, which, you know, I kind of like because it's giving the players some power back. But then, you know, others are particularly, I guess, coaches are kind of stretched thin in how they pursue it. There's over 1,000 people in the portal right now. And it's just I don't think all the effects have truly been thought out yet. But so I imagine it'll be tweaked. But, you know, I am, you know, happy that the players are getting, you know, some say back in things. But what's interesting is, you know, Texas has had some pretty good luck in the grad transfer market. We mentioned that Caleb Johnson came in this year at linebacker. Also had, I think his name is Jacoby Jones, if I'm not mistaken, as a defensive end. So had some luck there in the way of graduate transfers that, you know, are immediately eligible to play and, you know, can point towards the success of Gary Johnson, the success of Calvin Anderson, the success of Trey Watson last year for some guys that are, you know, looking to make a name for themselves. And so two that I've honed in on that people are talking a lot about. First is the grad transfer from Virginia, RJ Proctor. Looks like he's actually going to be visiting Texas this weekend. So that's a good sign for Texas. And then they're going to have a number of 2020 recruits in because, you know, you don't get much time off, right? We're going to have a number of 2020 recruits in this coming weekend, show them around campus. You know, the more and more you can get these guys on campus, the better chance you have at inking their signature. So he would be a huge get along. He's an offensive lineman out of Virginia. And then the other grad transfer, you know, that I really would like us to be able to get is Parker Braun from Georgia Tech. And he's going to be visiting the weekend of March 1st so that they can devote a little bit more time to him specifically. From everything I've read, he and his family are taking the process seriously and are, you know, not in it for the frills, but really just looking for the best fit for what his goals are. But if you watch some of his tape, man, the guy is a beast. Obviously, he's coming from Georgia Tech, so, you know, just did a lot to, you know, help that running game. And so I think he would come in right away, give us, you know, someone to solidify the middle of the offensive line and just be a true mauler out there, which would be great for, you know, our running backs, which, you know, we're hoping that can take another step to take some of the rushing pressure or at least the short yardage stuff off of Sam's shoulders. We know that's who he is, and he's going to do a lot of that stuff. But if you can, you know, limit some of the hits that he can take, then you certainly want to do that. And so I think guys, you know, the guys that Herb Hand is going after would continue to just allow that depth along the offensive line that's starting to show up, that's starting to kind of become a thing, you know, to create some space between classes, make it to where you're, you know, getting some grad transfers in that really know how to work and helping lead some of those younger guys. And then you get to a point where you truly can, you know, have the depth along the offensive line that you're seeking. So I think what Texas is doing is really smart. I think the way Herb Hand is approaching both the high school and grad transfer process, grad transfer prospects, is the right way to go. I think that he's, you know, certainly shown that he can do, you know, a lot in the way of helping guys develop. And, you know, if we could land both of these guys, I think that would go a long ways to us being one of the best offensive lines in the country. But if we could get one of the two, I think my preference would probably be Parker Braun, like I said, just to solidify that middle some. So, I guess really that's almost all I got. I think, yeah, talked about that. Yeah, I talked about everything really that, you know, I wanted to talk about. You know, it's just been, like I said, it's been a tough week, you know, giving my boy Ernest passing and all, but, you know, trying to certainly find the silver lining in it, be thankful for the time that we did have with him. And I just think that, you know, it was just a reminder to, you know, to truly give people their flowers while they're here. Because, you know, as much as, you know, we talked and as much as, you know, I thanked him for who he was as a man, as a friend and all those kinds of things, I still don't feel like I did enough. So, You know, check on your friends, check on your people, check on your loved ones, and you know, just try to live each day in a way that you know that you're leaving people and situations and just relationships in general better than you found them. So that's all I got. Won't get too sappy or anything like that to close it out. I know E wouldn't want that. So with that, I think that's going to be it for this episode of Until the Whistle Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Marcus Myers. You can find me on all social media at Marcus Myers, MarcusMyers. I'm just going to keep on trying to grow this, man. Keep letting this train roll. So that's going to do it. Hope you guys have a great week and catch you the next time the whistle blows.